All to the Koi Historical Society Centennial Celebration, Saturday, May 10th, 4 to 9, at the County Building Lawn, Lihue.
Fresh food and ancient wisdom. Dr. Basco's new book is now available. Learn to prepare healthy and balanced meals for your dogs. 822-4229 or drbasco.com.
Aloha! Thai Elephant has great food and a fun atmosphere at the Hana Pepe Friday Art Night, 5 to 9. Everything is fresh and organic.
If you would like information about any of these Wave Riders or to become a Wave Rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
Yes, a big mahalos for supporting Kauai Community Radio.
Yeah, and if you are impressed by that list of local supporters and businesses, there's no reason in the world why you can't join them and also step up. We got plenty of Wave Rider slots available still for you. So it's a great opportunity to connect with our community, and that's you.
And this one is by request.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dawn, for making that clear, that the views and opinions expressed by that
me
guy,
and you,
away, me, behind the mic.
And you, the caller, who calls in. You know, we have no control over who calls in, and nor do we typically even screen the calls. So if you call in and you want to speak your piece, you may be the only person in the world who thinks that way. So it'll probably be good that you call in, because otherwise no one else is going to say that.
There you go. And, you know, we do hopefully might get a couple of phone calls coming in. I did make some requests. Jan Ten Bruggen Kate was pretty busy on a Thursday, but thought he might be able to squeeze some time in to
tell
a story.
Yeah, he was recently in the news.
Recently in the news for an action on the Charter Review Committee. I guess it's the Charter Review Commission.
Commission, yeah.
There you go. And that's a county body of...
a standing body.
Of, if you will, citizens just like you and me. Maybe not just like you and me, but citizens nonetheless. And they sit on a body politic that is selected by both the mayor and the council, I believe. And they're reviewing our charter, which is the doctrine that helps us understand how to govern ourselves.
Yeah, it's a community agreement of how we are going to operate collectively as a community. It's like the blueprint.
And the I guess news that Jonathan was referring to was an article in the paper, I think. I'm spacing his
name.
It
was a couple days ago.
It was a while back. The Charter Review Commission meets on the last Monday of the month, and the last Monday of April, there was a motion by the chair, Jan Ten Bruggen Kate, to look at our process to get a ordinance or a change to the...
To the charter itself.
To make an amendment.
Yeah, how do you make an amendment? Right now there's a process, and Mr. Ten Bruggen Kate was making a suggestion of how that process could be altered. So hopefully he'll have a chance to call in and explain exactly what and why he made that recommendation, and that would be a great conversation.
Mm-hmm. And it's also a good, if you will, segue into another issue that more than likely will be coming up in the near future. You might already know that there is a petition being advanced to have the, I guess it's the pesticide-using agricultural entities that practice that style of farming, that they have to prove their safety or their wellness as far as practices go environmentally.
Yeah, it's kind of changing the terms of agreement. Typically how things have been is you can do whatever you want to until someone is able to prove, demonstrate that there's a harm taking place. And what this charter amendment will do is kind of alter the level of scrutiny, and it will become, if passed, it will become the responsibility of the large chemical agricultural entity to first prove that their practices are safe before they can do them, as opposed to the other way around. So that's an interesting discussion. It's an interesting philosophical divergence on what's a good way to create safe communities. And it's a great discussion to have. There have been several shows focused on that, and I imagine since it's a big issue that we will have future shows about that. So I look forward to those conversations as well.
That's it. And I think when I was speaking with Jan, that's what caught my eye in the newspaper article. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Was that Jan was wanting to get this conversation on the table for discussion. And so he made a motion that we look at the change in the charter, suggesting from 5% to 20% of registered voters.
Raising the threshold necessary for citizens like you and me, and Jan Tenbruggen and Kate, for that matter, raising the bar to make it four times more difficult for the community to have a say in the laws and regulations and rules that govern our community. So that'll be real interesting to hear his perspective on that.
So we'll get that coming up for you in just a short time. I know he was going to be down at the Kapaa Library, where they are having a presentation, I believe it started at 3:30, about the Polynesian Voyaging Society and the Hopulea.
A pretty awesome endeavor.
Mm-hmm. And the work that is going on with this worldwide voyaging that's going to be happening in the near future.
I think that's something that's unprecedented. I think that, you know, Polynesian navigation techniques and canoes have been crisscrossing the Pacific Ocean for, you know, more than 1,000 years. But I think they also have been able to make it out to Madagascar. I think there's some archaeological and genetic evidence that supports Polynesian trips to Madagascar. But I don't know that a Polynesian voyaging canoe has ever gone all the way around the world. So that's an exciting new chapter in Polynesian navigation. And I think that, I personally am excited about that. That's like stepping forward into the new millennia. It's pretty gosh darn cool.
Pretty gosh darn cool. And you know what else is pretty gosh darn cool? This is your radio station. I'm going to play a little music for you while we get some information up and out for you. The operators are still standing by.
Yeah, the please do call in with your
826-7771. And, we want to be here for you guys, and we want you to be here for us. So here's one for you. Something happened to my headphones.
Yeah. Well, we're standing by you, and we look forward to you standing by us here at KKCR. It's really through efforts of people just like you, you know, one pledge at a time, that we build up the membership of this community radio station and create the assets that we need to continue to bring you local public affairs programming and a volunteer music staff that creates the soundtrack for your life, really.
There you go. I love that. Soundtrack for your life.
Thanks.
Yeah. And, you know, Slim is here waiting on the phone calls. We are about $689 short of $25,000. $25,000 is the
good
goal.
Good math, Jimmy. That's impressive.
Well, that's, I'm working backwards. Right. Our big goal is $60,000 to keep the lights and the AC on. And we also know that, you know, volunteerism goes only so far.
Well, it goes a pretty darn far way. But it's a partnership. You know, it's not just Jimmy and it's not just me. It's the whole long list of people that it's not just because this is, we got 65,000-70,000 people on this island, and you are one of them. And it's one thing that's really been exciting for me to watch over the last couple of years is KKCR grow not just on Kauai, but we're also broadcasting on Oahu, and we're also streaming worldwide at KKCR.org. And, you know, we've got the little window where you can actually look and see where people are listening from. And it's all over the world. I think that there are not very many radio stations like KKCR on the dial. And so we're really quite fortunate to have this community resource available to all of us. And I know I listen to KKCR all the time. So it's because there's always something coming up that's going to be good or intriguing. You know, nobody here tells the DJs what they can play. Nobody tells the talk show host what they can say, although a lot of people try. And so, you know, what we have here is kind of a broadcast freedom. And freedom is a wonderful and a delicate thing. It's got to be constantly nurtured and attended to. And that's how together we all can get it done. So please do give us a call at 826-7771. We've got, as Jimmy has said, we've got folks standing by right now, sitting actually, to be truthful, fully truthful. We've got folks sitting by waiting for your call at 826-7771. So do, please, step up, become a member of the team, and show us how you, ho'okuleana, how you take responsibility for your community radio station.
There we go. And with that in mind, I have some obligations, and this is really not a tremendous obligation. It's a privilege and honor to share with you the good folks that make this all possible during our fun drive, these Wave Riders.
Happy Sweet 16, Jungle Girl. Island funk and flash in Old Koloa Town since 1998. Jewelry, folk art, housewares, accessories, and more.
A. Feinberg Galleries, exclusively featuring the images of award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg, showcasing two new brilliant images at the Poipu Gallery, Lost World and Blue Agave. More information at expandingvisualreality.com.
YWCA celebrates women's leadership on May 31st. Congratulations to this year's honorees, Lena Olajardine, Priscilla Badug, and Nadine Nakamura. Call 245-5959 for information.
Dr. Carolyn Manka in Kapa'a provides professional, effective therapy in a warm and friendly manner. 821-9454, drcarolynmanka.com.
Princeville Center, plenty of cool new businesses. Shop, dine, relax. Live music nightly, Princeville Center.
The historic Waimea Theater will host a live performance of The Legend of Ka'olau, Sunday, May 18th, 2 p.m. Tickets, call Puni Patrick. 651-5744.
Dove presents One Night Only on Kauai. Xavier Rudd plus Paula Fuga. Sunday, June 1st, KCC Performing Arts Center. Tickets at dovepresents.com. 635-5556.
Roshani Design. Each piece unique in composition and color, bringing people and gems together in balance and harmony. RoshaniDesign.com. R-O-S-H-A-N-I design.com.
KauaiHandTherapy.com, the only certified hand therapy on Kauai with over 30 years experience. Located in Lihue, 246-2716.
Heaven on Earth starts here, sowing the seeds of the evolution every single week. at Hoku Foods and Saturday Market in Kilauea. If you would like information about any of these Wave Riders or would like to become a Wave Rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
Holy moly, we just got a whole batch of online pledges.
Thank you so much, folks.
That's
online
fantastic.
To us.
Yeah, folks listening around the world at kkcr.org, streaming to every corner of our round world. You figure that one out.
And I'm Laura Christine with the latest. This is an update from the KKCR newsroom. We are at 24,919.
We're only $81 away from our
first
goal.
Goal.
Yeah, that's incredible.
To see us hit that 25.
Maybe we should make a new goal.
Let's do it.
Let's go for 26.
Woo!
We're only $81 away from our first goal, and that could be you calling in at 826-7771. Please do. Please step up. Please join our Ohana and help make us thrive.
And just remember, you know,
don't forget.
It's not all about talk on this radio station. It's not all about the radio personalities.
Although some people might have you believe it is.
No. It's about the wonderful world we live in. Oh, wait a minute. It's not so wonderful.
Push the button.
I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. Clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky. Also on the faces of people going by, I see friends shaking hands, say, how do you do?
Wonderful world indeed.
Indeed it is. And we are in the midst of our pledge drive, fun drive, membership drive.
Yeah, I want to thank all the people who have pledged and donated and become a member of our beautiful little community radio station. It's due to people just like you, all of us working together, kind of like a great big hooey, and helping pull the radio station into the future so that we can continue to thrive and deliver quality radio to you here on Kauai and the rest of the world. And not just, you know, one of the things that's really so nice about community radio, I think, is it's not just that, you know, it's not just the material that we're able to bring you, the music from all the volunteers, the volunteers who do community affairs shows, but it's also that you have access to the airwaves. You know, a lot of NPR or public radio stations, they're more interested in providing you a service, kind of a don't touch. You can listen, but don't touch. You're not really so much invited to participate. That's not really the case here at KKCR. If you want to call in, you can. If you want to volunteer here, you can. If you want to get involved and plug yourself into our radio station, you can do that. You're welcome to do that. It's really a great opportunity and great experience. And there's so many different ways that you can get involved. Just one of them is calling 826-7771 and making your pledge today to help us raise the funds that we need to thrive into the 21st century.
That's what we need. Phone calls, we appreciate them. And if you just got news you want to share, if you've got an upcoming event going on, if there's something you'd like to promote, call it in right now, 826-7771. I know that this weekend is a busy weekend. There's an event.
What do you got there, Jimmy?
Well, it's the first one on a very busy Saturday. It's the Mom Hui Benefit Luncheon. That's Saturday, May 10th. That's at the Church of the Pacific in Princeville. It's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's going to be locally grown food, local entertainment, lucky drawings, some giveaways, a silent auction, and a cakey corner.
What can you tell us about the Mom Hui? What are they all about?
You know, I'm really wishing that somebody from the Mom Hui might even call in and talk story about what the Mom Hui is all about. All I know is that they're moms and they rock. And they're out there loving the life that they live and the people that matter to them and the places that they love. And they're going to fight to protect that. That's about all that I know, to be honest. I know that the event is coming up the 10th. That's Saturday. There's a...
If you know more about the Mom Hui, give us a call at 826-771. Share your knowledge. It's likely you know something that other people don't know. So please do call in at 826-771. Or if you have another announcement about an event that maybe you're engaged in.
Here we go. Well, here is another event that same day. It's going to start later on in the day on the 10th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. It's called the Kauai Next Step Concert Rally. It's supporting the Charter Amendment to End Agrochemical Hazards. That's what we were talking a little bit earlier. Let the people decide. This is a free event that is going to be happening at the Peace and Freedom Hall.
Peace and Freedom Hall. That sounds good to me.
The Kauai Memorial Hall. It's in Lihue. It is right next to the... tennis courts at Wilcox School and the athletic field, the baseball diamond there behind the old police station and the adjacent to Wilcox School as well.
Yeah, it's also right next to the old War Memorial Convention Hall, as it was formerly known. It's been kind of evolving into a new name here in our community for, almost a decade now.
Almost a decade.
But, at some point people decided they wanted to stop memorializing war and rededicate the building to its original purpose that is inscribed in marble in the entryway to the peace and freedom of all the peoples in the world. Peoples with an S, which I think is a pretty expansive way to describe it. But that should be a pretty phenomenal event. I wanted to thank a big shout out to Kevin and to Annie, who just called in with their pledges. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Kevin says he loves listening to Out of the Box, Outside the Box, and he loves Kauai. That's really great to hear. Thank you, Kevin. And Annie, thank you so much for your pledge of support. Every little bit that moves us forward, that's really awesome. A big mahalo to you.
There we go. And just to make sure people are hearing that number right, it's 826-7771.
Three sevens, 1-1.
There you go. And if you're off island, it's 826-275-1112. That's 275-1112, 866 being the area code for that toll-free number.
Yeah, toll-free.
There we go. So got a lot of good stuff happening this weekend. The Let the People Decide Kauai Next Stop Concert and Next Step Concert and Rally. That's going to start at 6:30. 9 p.m. is the final day. There's going to be some... music and entertainment by Sashamon, Liko Martin, the Sacred Earth Choir, as well as being emceed by Makana. Some speakers that you might want to be interested in, Don Heacock, Margie Maupin, some Kauai doctors, and Dustin Barca and Walter Rite also in attendance, speaking with Gary Hooser, and a video presentation from Vandana Shiva.
And do you think, Jimmy, do you think that... it will be true as advertised that Makana will, in fact, be wearing overalls? Because that's one of the most exciting things to me.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if he will.
Well, I would think that you'd be pretty on top of that.
He needs to borrow some. I have some.
Yeah, you're pretty famous for overalls.
Maybe, Might be a little like loose and baggy on them, but that's all right. You know, with that in mind, I got to play one more because I can. It won't take too long.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
We're getting closer, getting closer to the goal. 249-19 is where we're at. We've raised $125 as we speak. We're about $1,000 off the mark. So come on, folks, give us a call if you can. Thanks so much, Tommy's making the connection right now. We've got another public event that's free. And if you're up in the Kilauea area on May 31st, it's Kilauea Day in the Park. It's 11 a.m.
All day. All day it's Kilauea Day.
There's going to be food, music, water slide, hula, information booth. It's at the Kilauea Neighborhood Association membership sign. Oh, wait a minute. It's at the Kilauea Park, right? There we go. Thumbs up on that one. And it's being sponsored by the Kilauea Neighborhood Association. There's a membership sign-up. It's free to all. It's not a free-for-all, but it's free to all. Should be
it's
good
a free-to-all. I guess you got to be careful with your prepositions.
You've
got to
be careful. So I'm going to play. Oh, what's next?
Hey, thanks for making it rain out there, folks. I really appreciate that. The number is open. We've got one line open right now, 826-7771, if you want to calling in your pledge, and thanks to the folks who have been calling in. It's really truly really great to get that support. We really appreciate it.
And this is weekend drive. Well, what would you
nah, call mute it? That. Mute that, Jimmy.
There you go. Trying to get that one.
There you
off.
Go.
We got a passing in the Hawaiian legend that no longer with us physically, but here
in spirit.
In spirit. So we honor the Reverend Dennis Kamakahi.
He manamo ikabe kiu koke ikanani o kaina o kanoe po ai ai o kalapa he aina. Oh, I mea kule aloha, never more to say goodbye, never more to say goodbye. E hopi mai ana I ka hiki na kala vela vela ike kai habana bana ipo ipu makoa o kala la he anala ikawa lili. Never more to say goodbye. Oh, nevermore to say goodbye. Nevermore to say goodbye.
To thank you so much for calling in with your pledges of support and membership to KKCR. We're in the middle of our 2014 spring membership and pledge drive, our fun drive, and want to thank all you folks for calling in to help us have a little bit more fun here. It's pretty great. Shout outs to all the listeners online who are making their pledges and donation, as well as the folks listening here inside our local FM signal here on Kauai and Oahu, and thank you for your support as well.
There we go. Thanks, Jonathan, for that. I also just want to thank Jan Ten Bruggenkate, Review Commission Chair, and he's on the phone. Let me make sure we get all the right numbers up here.
Are you with us, Jan?
I'm with you.
Hey, right. Aloha, and welcome to KKCR. Can we take your pledge?
Let's deal with that after we deal with this.
Oh,
fantastic.
There we go. I am, just to be clear, I am not currently the chair. I was the chair last year. I am the vice chair.
Oh, terrific. Who's the chair now?
Jimmy Nishida is the chair of the Charter Review Commission as we speak.
Well, congratulations for holding that august position and passing on the torch.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and I appreciate you making time for us on this busy Thursday afternoon. Jan, we spoke earlier in the week about the action. It was an article in the local paper, The Garden Island, by Chris D'Angelo, called Changing the Charter. And you'd made a motion to, essentially raise the number of signatures required for a petition to an amendment of the charter, and I guess currently we're at 5%, and the proposal was to go to 20%?
Yeah, our county charter allows for three ways to change the charter. One of them is county council can propose a change.
All right, that's number one.
On it. Another one is the charter commission, which is seated periodically. Right now we're in a 10-year period when we're reviewing the charter, but normally it happens once every 10 years. And the third way is the citizen can petition to put a charter change on the ballot.
So it's twofold then that way, right?
No, threefold.
No, it's twofold in that the petition has to happen first, get enough signatures, and then it gets put on the ballot. And then if the electorate chooses, then it gets put into
amendment. What you're saying, a two-step process.
That's right.
Right, and so your proposal does what?
Well, the problem that I'm trying to address, or that I think that we ought to consider addressing, is that in our county, the basic form of government is established by the charter. It establishes the structure of the county. It
sure, the framework of operation.
Exactly, it's a structural document. And then the next level, sort of less gravity than that, is the ordinances and bills, which are used to cause that to function.
Yes. So we have the agreements themselves, and then we have the way in which we come to those agreements.
Yeah, kind of like that. In all of the Hawaii counties except Kauai, it takes more. An equal amount or more signatures to propose a charter change than it does to propose an ordinance or the repeal of an ordinance.
Yeah, so that seems a little curious. And it also seems like there's two basic ways to address that, yeah?
There's a number of ways to address that.
Well, I was thinking specifically you could raise the number of signatures needed to make a charter amendment, or you could lower the amount of signatures necessary to get an ordinance passed.
Yeah, that's true, and in fact, it's useful to know that we currently have the lowest standard of any county in the state of Hawaii.
Now, why don't you explain to us what that means to have a low standard? Because in some ways, that's a very good thing.
Indeed, it's a useful tool in democracy to be able to debate these things, but thankfully we're able to debate them.
So why would you want to make it harder for people to participate in their own government?
It's a great question. And one way to look at it is once people have established a system, a group of people who run the government and a set of rules for running the government, to avoid making it more difficult to get the job done, you want to avoid making too many too quick changes.
Uh-huh. And when we spoke earlier, that's what you were suggesting, that the current, I guess, status, the status quo is such that it would be easy for us to change through a process that might not necessarily be the best the best way to make that change.
So I can see how that might be a concern, but let's look at the real world. How many times has the charter been changed in a way that it stayed changed in, say, the last decade?
When you say in a way that stays changed, I mean, one of the problems is the last couple of charter amendments have been thrown out in court.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So those haven't been effective.
The charter has been repeatedly changed. And one of the ways in which it has been changed, I mean, there have been multiple charter amendments over time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them not by petition.
Okay.
One of the reasons that there's a difference between how many votes, how many signatures are required to make a charter amendment and how many signatures are required for initiative and referendum, which is 20% of the voters. So initiative and referendum is the ability of the voters to either propose a new law or to repeal an existing law.
Okay, I mean, that's just
like... It's much harder to do that than to change the fundamental document of our county government. And it seems to me that that's a backwards thing.
Sure, but
and I don't particularly have an objection to making it easier to do initiative and referendum, but I do think that it ought to be harder or as hard, as is the case everywhere else in the state, to change the charter than to simply pass an ordinance.
Sure, that seems reasonable. So I guess my question to you is, why wouldn't we want to make it easier for people to participate in their local governance, self-governance, by lowering the amount of signature percentage necessary to make amendments or to make ordinances?
But I don't have an objection to that.
All right, so then that's a possibility.
Which happens so rarely.
Oh, that's so not true, Jan. I agree with you all the time. And I'm in agreement with you here right now.
There you go. Yeah, no, I just think that it ought to be easier to pass an ordinance than to change the charter. And to start the discussion, we start the discussion in a way that is likely to promote discussion. I propose just bringing the charter, the number of signatures required to change the charter, up to the existing level of the number of signatures required to create an ordinance or to repeal an ordinance.
So I really appreciate you, Jan, taking the time today to, you know, share with us that might not have got that a chance to read the article by Christy Angelo. I think that was, when was it posted? April 29th.
Chris was in the room when we had this discussion at the Charter Commission, and I thought he did a good job with the story.
Mm-hmm. And I think that
he's an able young reporter.
The thing that stood out was the what you just said right now of starting that discussion. So here we are having a little bit more of the discussion. When is the next time that community is going to have an opportunity to hear more about this? Is this going to be on the agenda for the May Charter Review Commission meeting?
Yeah, and the May Charter Review Commission, because our normal meeting is the last Monday of the month, and this year the last Monday of the month is a holiday, we're going to be meeting on the 19th.
And so that's not the last Monday of the month, since that's a holiday. It'll
be the next to the last.
The next to the last, and so it'll be at 4 o'clock in the Moikeha Building Conference Rooms A and B on Monday the 19th.
That's the same building that the Planning Commission meets in?
Same room.
All righty. Yeah. So over there in the round building, the round county government building.
Yeah, sort of around the corner from the Round Building.
Well, appreciate that, and I'm sorry that you didn't get a chance to catch the Polynesian Voyaging Society and the Namahoy Hokulea discussion that was going on at Kapa Library.
Oh, I was hoping you could give us an update on that.
Yeah, sorry. What little I can tell you is that the Polynesian Voyaging Society is about to go take the voyaging canoes to Hokulea and Hikianalia. I think I've got that name wrong. But Hokulea and the escort vessel on a worldwide voyage. And my understanding was that this meeting was to help work on the educational protocols that are going to be a part of that, because they're going to try and do a worldwide educational outreach to further conservation and cultural outreach and so forth.
Well, the whole idea of the Polynesians in the Atlantic, now that's pretty exciting.
Hasn't happened much.
As far as we know, as far as I know, there is no suggestion that that Polynesian canoes, other than six-man canoes that are racing all over the world right now.
Now this is blue water sailing.
In early days, which is say, you know, pre-European explorations, were ever in the Atlantic. They were virtually everywhere else, as far as we can tell, across the Pacific, across the Indian Ocean, as far west as Madagascar. There's some suggestion that they may have gotten up and down the west coast of the Americas.
I think that's true. That's supported by the genetic evidence of the sweet potato.
The sweet potato, there's also a gourd, and there's recent evidence of Polynesian-carried chicken bones in Chile. Which suggested that the chickens that are found throughout the Pacific that were carried to the various islands by Polynesians made it to the American mainland in Chile.
Yeah, 1,000 years before Columbus. So stick that in your little Iberian pipe.
Yeah, probably a couple hundred years before, or actually right around Columbus, but before the Europeans could have gotten there.
Well, there you go. I love chicken in Chile, but usually I like it with tortillas and rice and some frijoles también. But back to our issues on the local front with the Charter Review Commission. Jan, tell us a little bit about the Charter Review Commission. Is this a body that is selected by the council or by the mayor, or is it a combination?
How do you get on the commission?
The charter, well, first of all, the charter, which was established, which became effective for Kauai in 1969, is the basic document. It changed our form of government from a board of supervisors system to a mayor and council system with what, compared to the other counties, is a weak mayor and strong council and commission system. The charter calls for a charter commission to be established every 10 years to review the charter for potential changes. And then some years ago, it having been 3 or 4 decades since the original charter was passed, the charter commission was seated for a 10-year period to review the charter and see what changes need to be made.
Yeah, to make sure that it's a living document, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're doing in this charter commission is going through and sort of catching a number of errors, which we call non-substantive errors, grammatical errors, spelling problems. And we're also degenderizing, if you would, the council.
Or taking the gender bias out.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, as government documents did back in 1969, almost throughout the charter, it refers, all gender references are male.
Yeah, he.
And we're taking that out just as a, because we think, you know, in this time and in this place, that's an appropriate thing to do.
Well, you know, half of the electorate and a good percentage of our elected officials are women, so it's high time, yeah.
Yeah, I think actually more than half of the electorate is female.
I agree with you again.
You guys are being so agreeable
today. That's one of the things we're looking at, and there are a number of other we did review districting, and opted this year not to to put districting on the ballot. Although there have been suggestions that that another of the citizen initiatives this year might be one to propose some form of districting. Our problem, in large part, was that there was seemed to us a minority of people, but a significant minority that was interested in districting, but we couldn't get any clarity around which form of districting.
Yeah, it seemed like you had several choices there.
Yeah, there were a lot of choices. I mean, all the way from 7 one-man districts.
One-person districts.
One person, excuse me. There I am. Multiple candidate districts for council, to increasing the council to 9 seats, to decreasing the council to 5 seats. It was pretty confusing, and as I suggested, that the commission could not reach any kind of a consensus around if we were to propose districting, which one.
Right, and I remember at one of the meetings out in the public, the question I had was, could we just put on the charter that would you support going into districting and changing the charter, but giving us a time frame to make that change? And I was told that the wording on the proposal has to be specific for the actual change to happen, so that you couldn't have it open-ended saying the decision on the ballot is, do you support districting or not? And if so, what is your method, or what is your preferred way of districting?
That's like a two-part question.
Right, and it just couldn't be phrased that way. So it was kind of like, oh, well, why not? So
yeah, we've looked at that. We've asked that question and gotten legal advice that there's no legal way to do that. That actually made a lot of sense to several of us on the commission.
Right.
Well, sometimes things that make sense aren't always legal. I bet we agree again.
There you go.
There you go. Well, Janet, we do appreciate you taking time to talk story with us. We are at the top of the hour, and you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. If you're on Oahu, it's at K284 AL in Haleiwa,
104.7,
90.9 FM in Hanalei, 92.7 Anahola Moloa area, 91.9 island wide. You are joined by Jonathan J. Jentan Brugicate on the phone. This is Jimmy Trujillo, your host of this Outward Bound show, this Out of the Box special. We're in our fun drive. Jan, any last minute final thoughts in regards to the conversation that we're having now, and where will it evolve into from here?
No, I mean, I'm hoping that we're going to continue having the conversation. I think it is it's a good conversation to have. I'd love for people to show up at our meeting on the 19th and make recommendations for what to do with the number of signatures required to change the charter, and also the number of signatures required to do initiative and referendum.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're up against is a real tight timeline.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have kind of a tight time frame here. You got to get this stuff all, you know, sealed, signed, delivered, and dried before it can go to the ballot.
Well, yeah, it needs to be put into final form. It needs to undergo legal review. The educational documents around putting it on the ballot need to be put out, and we're already at the deadline for coming up with new issues. So if this gets on, it'll be tight. But I have confidence that the voters make the right decisions when they get decisions before them.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it gets on this term or in the future or not at all, we'll wait and see.
Well, it's certainly not a rush to get something out there, but you are under a time constraint. What is the decision, or where does it go when you say, you know what, we need more time and we're not going to get it on this ballot? Can we put it on the 2015 agenda?
Yeah, and that's also possible, and maybe that's a good idea. The Charter Commission, the current 10-year term of the Charter Commission, as I recall, wraps up in 2016. So we don't have a lot more time, but we can push it into the next election cycle.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure, and there's no reason why you can't extend them again and go for another standing 10-year period.
Well, that would require another charter amendment.
Oh, there we go again. So, Jan, I do appreciate that you're sharing with us. Can you also shed a little light in regards to, because this is one that's come up before your body. I don't know if you were sitting at the time when the county manager proposal came up. I'm curious in regards to what determines taking up the issue, going to districting, going to the county manager.
Are you asking how they decide?
I'm asking, how does that proposal get put onto your agenda? I know you put this one on recently because you're part of that commission. I know Jimmy Nishida, I think maybe it was Jimmy, maybe it was somebody else who advanced the districting question. How does that work?
Well, normally, I mean, the Robert's Rules of Order normally puts the control of the agenda in the hands of the chairman of a panel. And in this case, that's the way we normally operate. If members of the public have suggestions for the Charter Review Commission, they can ask Jimmy Nishida as the chairman to put them on the agenda. We normally allow a public comment period at the beginning of the meeting, and individuals can just show up and suggest things. Mm-hmm. And if the chairman agrees, they go on the agenda. In the case of the county manager, a number of folks brought it up, I think now 2 or 3 years ago, and we looked at that very closely. We actually took it on the road. We had community meetings in Princeville and in Lihue and I think in Hanapepe.
Mm-hmm.
to hear what people thought. And at that time, the commission decided not to proceed with a proposal for a county manager for a number of reasons. And I mean, I could go into them, but there are a bunch of them. Just one of those was that there was not much support when we went into the community. It
kind of fell there on the floor and just sat there.
Yeah, I mean, there were two or three folks who made strong arguments for a county manager, and there were several dozen folks who made strong arguments for wanting to keep the current mayor system.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of interesting legal issues. Our state. Our state statutes and our state constitution assumes an elected mayor in an executive authority, an executive position.
That we need to have one.
Under a number of regulatory pieces of legislation, various laws, and one of the questions is, do we put the county at a disadvantage if we don't have somebody who is equivalent in authority to the mayors of Maui and Hawaii Island and Honolulu?
Right.
When it comes time to negotiate, if we send somebody who's not an elected official, does not have the authority of the voters behind him or her, to negotiate at wherever, at the legislature or with county with state agencies and so forth. So that was just another one of the issues. There were a whole lot of issues, and I think the commission at the time concluded that it just wasn't ripe to put that on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the question that comes up for me is like, well, what is the harm of putting something on the ballot
for
us to choose as voters if it, you know, has passed, if you will, the legal muster?
Yeah, because there's two basic ways of looking at it. One would be for the County Charter Review Commission to sort of weigh whether they thought it was a good idea or not, to be like the gatekeeper and say, yeah, we think this is a good idea. It should, you know, it should be passed. But it's a very different matter to say, well, we don't have a position on whether this is good or bad. We're going to let the voters decide. How do you make that distinguishment?
I can only speak for myself, but there are cases in which I don't have a strong feeling, but I do think that the voters ought to be given a shot. There are other situations in which I have had the sense, and county manager is one of them, where it's really not clear to me if this were to pass, do we put the county in a better place or a worse place? Do we put the community at risk by putting an idea forward that if passed, might not work well? There are issues that you might not want to throw onto the ballot. Someone else could do it. And, you know, the county council, you know, this year, I think the county council will probably put a couple of charter amendments on that we're not proposing, that we, the charter commission, are not proposing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a fair chance that citizens will put something on that neither the council nor the charter commission have considered.
So I guess you guys are not the only game in town if you want to get something on the ballot. That's the three ways that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. The county government is remarkably accessible, as both of you know. I mean, we can.
Heck, they let all of us participate in it.
I mean, that's my point. They let me participate. They let you participate. They let the guy down the street. They let strangers from out of town participate, which sometimes makes us uncomfortable. But
well, it depends on how strange they are, I guess.
There's that, or how well paid.
Well, there you go. And I know that you know, we spoke a little bit about the current petition that's going on. That current petition requires how many signatures? 20-something. 2,100 signatures.
It is. I haven't been involved in that process because it's not our process.
Right.
But if they proceed as a proposed charter amendment,
that's the 5%. Yeah,
requires 5% of signatures of registered voters
from the previous election
5%
cycle.
5% of the number who were registered in the previous election.
Right.
And the last election, we had a little over 40,000 registered voters, so this would be a smidgen above 2,000 signatures.
So 2,000 signatures is a lot easier to get than, say, 8,000 or 9,000 or 10,000 signatures.
Yeah, but it's 20% is not an impossible target. One of the seminal development battles of this community was over the zoning at Nukuʻalii.
Yeah, the whole Nukuʻalii battle.
And the Nukuʻalii citizens raised 20% of the number of registered voters on two occasions. One to reverse the zoning of that property through a referendum, and then subsequently, after the 1982 Hurricane Eva, to reestablish.
Yeah,
through an initiative.
Yeah, that was those are epic political battles here on Kauai.
They were more than epic. They were also pretty angry, and there were a couple of bombings involved. It was a very troubling time.
Yeah, I think we could all agree to do without a lot of that.
Indeed.
Yes,
yeah.
We can.
And I think one of the ways that we can maybe accomplish that is by making or keeping it to be four times easier for our citizens to participate in the structure of our local government, self-governance. What an idea. It's kind of a cherished political tradition.
I can hear where you stand on that issue.
There you go. Hey, speaking of standing on these issues, there's an online poll, Jan, and this is my last question for you. Should the county ban Styrofoam to-go containers? What do you think?
My personal view, yes.
There we go.
the...
Click that for him, Jimmy.
Well, I was going to say, you and about 75% of the respondents agree on that. I know Jonathan agrees with you on that.
I do. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a thrilling that we agree. It must be a really powerful issue.
It is one of those issues that isn't going to go away anytime soon.
And I'll say it again. Yeah. It feels good to agree with you, Jan, Tenbrug, and Kate.
One of the things on the styrofoam issue that it drives me nuts to receive materials full of styrofoam packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Because there really isn't an adequate means of recycling it. It takes up far too much space in our landfill, if that's where it goes.
Either that or it blows around.
Or it blows around. It's, for the most part, it's petroleum-based, although there are other resources from which you can make styrofoam.
I understand they make GMO soy peanuts these days.
And GMO corn peanuts, too, I think.
There you go. They're doing a lot of that stuff. Jan, do you know you could take those to the UPS store, and they'll take all your packaging peanuts and other styrofoam products, and they'll reuse them?
I did not know that.
Now, I'm sharing that out for all you listeners who have an abundance of styrofoam stuff. You're not sure what to do. You can call them up and ask them, will they take it? And usually they will say, we'll take whatever you got so long as it's clean and we can use it again as packaging.
Yeah, I save my own when I get it. I grip my teeth, don't throw it in the trash, and hold on to it in hopes that I can reuse it and ship it back to the mainland myself, mm-hmm, with Christmas presents or whatever.
Yep.
Well, don't grit your teeth on the peanuts themselves, because that makes a really weird squeaky noise.
Thanks.
It does. It's frightening. Well, the nice things about the corn and soy ones is that they just sort of disappear in your mouth when you chew on them.
Yeah, there you go.
Well,
I don't recommend anyone do so.
I guess I would say I believe you if you say so.
I agree with you, Jan.
The recycling of clamshell food containers and so on is more problematic.
Very problematic.
I know that for a number of food purveyors, it's a much easier process for them, they tend not to leak as much, and there are a number of reasons why they're great in application, but the environmental impact is pretty negative, and I would just as soon have a paper container that I can recycle in other ways.
There you go.
Well, I want to thank you, Jan, for your environmental impact here on the island. It's really great the way you have stepped up to so many boards and positions of responsibility in the community. Really want to thank you for your volunteer work, and also want to thank you for your pledge to KKCR here as we're in the middle of our fund drive, our pledge drive, and thank you so much for your participation in our community radio.
And I support you in that, and I wish you well in the fund drive.
Thanks, Jan. I'm going to have somebody take your pledge as soon as we get you off the phone. How's that?
Sounds good.
Thanks so much, Jan. Appreciate that.
Okay, bye.
Ahui ho.
Ahui ho. Jan, are you still there?
If you folks are been listening, this is Out of the Box. I'm Jonathan Jay, filling in with Jimmy Trujillo here today on our 2014 Spring Pledge Drive Spectacular. We had an original goal of $25,000 for this show. We've already surpassed that, thanks to the generosity of listeners just like you here and the FM signal, as well as a huge packet of folks listening online. Thanks so much for that. If you've been listening at kkcr.org, streaming worldwide live on the internet, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for your support. It's really people just like you that help us continue to thrive and bring you fantastic music and locally produced community affairs shows, talk shows just like this, where you can listen to local volunteers like Mr. Jan Tenbrug and Kate, who called in and spoke with us a little bit moments ago about some of the Charter Review Commission processes. It's really great to get like a little education on how our local government works. It's an eye-opener, and I really appreciate Jan sharing that information with us and with listeners like you. So if you want to call in and add your support to the station, you can reach us here. Folks are literally standing by right now. Folks are out of their chairs at 826-7771. And be happy to take your call right now. Thanks so much for your support, and really appreciate that. Jimmy, are you you ready to come back on here?
No.
No? All right, we got a caller standing by. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're doing good, Megan. How are you?
Good.
Right on. And thanks for calling in. We have Megan, please tell us your full name, because I've got I don't want to mispronounce it. Megan. Oh, that was easy. There was a pitch a while back, wasn't there?
She probably has known the answer to that question for quite some time, Jenny.
Yes. If I would just looked at my Facebook page right now. And, Megan, you are working with Malama Kauai, correct?
Yes.
And you have an internship program and a whole jobs workforce development program that I asked you to call in and talk story with us at Kauai Community Radio. Tell us more about this program.
Yeah, sure. So we have a 10-week Green Careers Certificate program that we're piloting this summer, and we're about to get started at the end of this month. And it's a full environmental literacy curriculum along with a bunch of career development.
What does that mean, environmental literacy? Does that mean being able to read the environment, or does that mean something else?
You know, it's basically a foundation of environmental science. So at a very foundational level, so somebody who's newer to the topic is interested in exploring a career that is green, and we have a variety of different topics that we cover, from, you know, water to agriculture, waste, transportation, energy, building, a social entrepreneurship model. So it's just a taste of everything to find out more about the careers that are available in the field, about some of the issues that we're facing as a community, and also coming up with some really great solutions.
What makes something green, or what makes it sustainable? What are the qualities that make this different from how practices were in the past?
Yeah, sure. So we actually follow the United Nations Environment Program's definition of a green job, which is basically, it can kind of be anything. It can be agriculture, manufacturing, R&D, administrative, service, education, but the core function is that it's preserving or restoring environmental quality. So it might be that it's protecting ecosystems or biodiversity. It could be reducing energy, materials, water, using high-efficiency strategies, decarbonizing the economy, avoiding or minimizing waste and pollution.
Why do you think these things are important to us today? I mean, why does it matter? Why do we want to decarbonize the economy, and what would that mean?
That's a really big question. I could talk about that for probably a couple hours. in a nutshell, you know, I think Kauai is, you know, unique as any island is, in that we want to try and be as sustainable as possible, not only for our environmental health and, you know, that we rely on, you know, this island to support us. We also need to make sure that we take care of it so it is there to support us. And it's a really great emerging economy that's coming through this. You know, I mean, our government is doing it. You know, a lot of businesses are really focused on it. It's financially sustainable, too. You save a lot of money when you get involved in sustainability initiatives.
So it turns out that sustainability is a growth field.
Yeah, and it's a triple bottom line. You know, I mean, it helps the people, the profits, and the planet. Win-win.
Seems like a win-win-win.
So win-win-win.
Megan, how can people find out more about this, or how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. They can go to malamakauai.org. We're tying up the end of the application cycle, so we have about 3 spots left in the program.
Oh, that's great.
For students. And then we are still taking internship sites that are interested. We have a lot of different sites. I'm happy to talk to anybody that's interested if they want to give us a call. Happy to give out my phone number if you want to.
Sure, please do.
Sure, they can call me. I'm at 808-828-0685. Extension 12.
One more time.
Yeah, so we can actually
didn't grab their pen.
Like me, I like write them down.
Sure, 828-0685.
And that's to get you in touch with Megan Fox from Malama Kauai.
Yes.
And tell us again the name of the Kauai Roots or local roots. I know there's a roots in there.
It's called Roots of Kauai.
Thank you.
And it's a curriculum that's taught worldwide. It's called Roots of Success, and this is the first pilot in the state of Hawaii. So we're going to be kind of determining its effectiveness, helping to make the curriculum more effective for Hawaii and really being used as an example across the state to see if this is a viable program for us.
What's the deadline for people to get in touch with you?
It's on a rolling basis. For internships, we need internship submissions by May 23rd. And students, it's kind of rolling, so we accept students as we meet with them and find matches. So sooner the better.
All right, so on an ongoing basis, opportunities on an ongoing basis. That's great.
Megan, I really appreciate you taking some time talking story with us. I also want to put out that invitation that after a couple of intern applications and some successful placements, why don't you come on into the booth with a couple of your interns and we can talk story a little bit more about
their
experience, how they can encourage their peers to get involved and what they've learned and how we're moving forward together on this.
Sounds great. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys.
No worries. Thank you, Megan. Really appreciate you calling in.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Aloha.
Nothing breeds success like success, and we'd like to thank some listeners who have called in. We've got a donation from Kristen. Thank you so much. We've got a donation from Jan. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate that. It's fantastic to get support from every single person on the island that we can. It makes us all stronger. And let's see. Oh, I wanted to also let listeners know that we've got, what was that information about the skating competition, the roller derby?
May 31st. The Garden Island Renegade Rollers.
Oh, there we go. That's the same day as Kilauea Day in the Park, man. Lots of good stuff every weekend. I've got a phone call from one of our favorite activists. Raymond, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Terrific. Thanks so much for calling us here and out of the box.
Hey.
Jonathan Jay and Tim Kalai answering phones. And you've got an event coming up that you'd like to share, talk story about?
Yeah, a good friend of mine by the name of Gary Kubota has put together a play, and it's called The Legend of Ko'olau. He showed it twice before. He's had it, had it on Kauai at the Waimea Theater twice before, and he's having it again May 18th, 2:30 p.m. at the Waimea Theater. And what it is what it says right here is that the legend of Ko'olau, through the eyes of Hawaiian outlaw cowboy Ko'olau, a courageous story of love and survival unfolds in this one-man play about a family on Kauai during the turmoil marked by the loss of Hawaiian sovereignty in 1893. So this is a man whose family and even himself came down with the challenge of what they call the Hansen's disease, and they wanted to take him and his family to Molokai, but he said forget it, and they went into Kalalau Valley, and they fought off the police who were trying to take him away. It's a fantastic play, and it stars an actor by the name of Moronae Kanikoa, a young native I should say Kanaka Maoli, who's a tremendous actor, and it's a one-man play, you know, really good. And this is a good play and very historical, and I think a lot of people would really enjoy it.
And true story, yeah?
It's a true story. And in quotations here, it says, I am ready. In other words, he was ready to take on the authorities to protect his family. And he went into that valley, Kalalau, to get away from the forces of authority who wanted to take his family away and take him away, and he refused to cave in, you know, and he protected his family, protected himself, and in the process they never caught him.
And so that's going to be on May 18th at the Waimea Historic Theater.
Yes, and you guys should go if you got the chance. May 18th. Waimea Historic Theater, of course, there's going to be a price for it. I guess I can't announce that on your show.
You know how that is. Thanks for that.
There's a number of people that have seen it already. A lot of listeners to your radio station have already seen it. I know, and I don't think they're going to. I think some of them may even go and see it again. You know, and Blue Dukes and I went together. And Gary had left some tickets for us, so we got to go, and it was tremendous.
And now what time on the 18th? 2:30 p.m., I believe?
2:30 p.m. Now, The playwriter, Gary Kubota, has a wealth of social activism experience. You know, he was an organizer at the Kalama Valley struggle in 1971 when he got arrested to prevent the eviction of Hawaiians and farmers. He organized the resistance of Filipino plantation workers from getting evicted in their homes in Waipahu, and they got a new camp called Ota Camp, a new housing for them. He was active in the ethnic studies program. He also sailed on the Hokulea. And he has an extensive knowledge in history. I mean, extensive knowledge of Hawaiian history. He's really a good guy. And he just sent me a whole bunch of posters yesterday. He wants me to get them out to the community. And so that's why I'm calling you guys up.
Well, there's nothing like a courageous and true story of love and survival to get the blood going. And it's really great to hear that somebody who's been fighting the good fight for so long.
For so long. Yeah.
Such a respectful tradition. He's opened up a new chapter and actually doing playwriting. That's really fantastic to hear.
Yes. Well, he's also a writer for the Star Advertiser as well. He's an environmental writer.
So he got lots of talents.
He's got a lot of talents, and he also plays music. He makes his own music. You can even find him online, Gary T. Kubota. And I have a couple of phone numbers here for people to call if they're interested in getting tickets. Can I announce that? Okay.
Yeah,
I've got two numbers, area code 808-329-2027. That's area code 808-329-2027. And there's another number, 808, that's the area code, number 6450996, area code 808-6450996. And people should be there early to get tickets because the word is spreading, and, you know, I don't want to see anybody turned away. It's gotten very good reviews. It's going to be taken across the United States.
Raymond, do you know if there's any pre-sale tickets?
Pre-sale tickets, that I don't know of. All I know is that I got this right here, and for these people to call if there's any pre-sale, and call these numbers if there are any tickets available.
There you go. Tim's got a question.
Only just one showing, is that right?
Only just one showing, brother. Just one,
All right, so.
Unfortunately, that's it. But if you guys can make them, please go.
It's a one-man show. That's the 18th, 2:30 p.m. at Waimea Historic Theater on Kauai.
The Legend of Ko'olau.
You can get more information if you were to go to HonoluluMagazine.com and hit May Entertainment button. You'll find out more.
That's right.
And if you're a Facebook user, you could go to Gary Kubota. Gary, K-U-B-O-T-A. He's got some information posted on his site. And Raymond, appreciate you sharing the backstory about Mr. Kubota and the work that he's doing.
I first met Kubota back when both him and I were going to the UH, and we were both involved in.
You went to UH?
We were involved in the anti-war movement. Gary was working with the Quakers, and he was encouraging young men not to join the military
in
Vietnam.
American
Friends Service Committee. So this Kubota, he's got a long list of social activism, and that's why he was able to really put together this play, because he really understands what's going on in the islands. Very intelligent man, and I don't think anybody will be disappointed with what has been put together. The first time I went to see it, Ed Kahia was the performer, and then the second time it was someone else, another young man, but I forgot his name. But the third time it was this Moronai Kanikoa. These are pretty seasoned actors, that have been doing plays and Broadway things for a long time. And I'm not too familiar with plays and stuff, but that's exactly what these guys are doing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with folks.
Okay, thank you. I got to hang up my phone because the phone running out of minutes. So, okay. Hey, thanks a lot, you guys. Bye-bye.
Aloha. Thank you, Raymond. Appreciate that.
What I've also heard, too, just passed by, and this is Tim Kalai speaking, is that, Oahu is already sold out, on the show, too. So it's like, the word's getting out. It's a great, great production. Got to go see him. And I know that I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Raymond, for bringing me that information.
And if you want to get more information about tickets, you can call 808-329-2027 is one number. Second number is 645
800-273-0996. And while I'm giving out numbers, I also want to remind you our number here is 826-7771. We're in the middle of our spring pledge drive, our fund drive, our membership drive here at KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. We're the radio. You're the community. Together, it's like peanut in chocolate butter.
Together we can. And we have hit our first goal. We are at $25,064. We love that.
69.
Oh, 69. We're at 4 and a 9 from here. You can't tell. But guess what, man? Those $5, that's a big difference.
It matters.
And we've raised $200 so far. We'd like to get to our $1,000 goal of $850. That's only going to happen if you're able to call in. Slim, Tommy, they're standing by. Tim's got a message about an upcoming event. Oh. I've got one as well. You know, talk about world class. At the KCC Performing Arts Center, this is going to be on Wednesday, May 21st at 6:30 p.m. It's the world-class atrazine researcher, UC Berkeley professor Dr. Tyrone Hayes will be here from 6:30 a.m. for a presentation about atrazine and some of the harmful effects that some of these chemical agents are causing people and animals worldwide. And so that's being hosted from, you asked a little bit about the Mom Hui. This is being presented by Hawaii Seed and the Mom Hui.
Oh, the moms in action.
And so moms in action all around this world taking good care of us. So that's coming up Wednesday, May 21st. It's a free event. It's at 6:30 at the KCC Performing Arts Center. If you want more information about that, give a call at 651-1332, or you can give an email to Ofstone, O-F-S-T-O-N-E, at AOL.com. Tim, you got something you want to share as well?
You know, I do, Jimmy. And once again, first and foremost, I want to thank both you and Jonathan, you know, for putting on just like a phenomenal, phenomenal show here.
Oh,
and
stop. We do it every week.
Hey, I got that $20 for you.
Thanks. You know, I'm going to put that towards my aspect of the community to put it into the box.
Into the box.
That's what we need. Into the box.
Not out, but we need your donations to go into the box today. So if we can put that out there, people, you know that this station exists because of you, for you. Everything we do is because of you. And, you know, you keep us rolling here. You guys, I mean, some of the content of what comes through on this particular station at this particular time in this slot,
we try,
is pretty
Tim.
Phenomenal.
We try.
You know, I'm just always sitting in awe and amazement, you know, and thank you, Jonathan, for making me laugh, man. My sides are bursting sometimes.
I said
you know?
I would give you the money.
You do. It's okay. It's okay.
Here we go. I am 20 minutes away from the top of the hour.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I forgot
you had something you wanted
to
share.
Yeah, you're kicking me off already. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Too long winding up.
That was already. Exactly.
Too long winding up. Get
okay.
to the point.
Well, excuse me. I need a tissue first. on top of that, you know, what this is all about, And here's the intro to this, and the name of it is called Kauai Nui Kuapapa, which, you know, basically translate to Kauai of Great Genealogies. And what this is the Moku signage project.
Oh.
You know, that has been birthed by, you know, the mayor and the couple of people that are putting that out really are Nalani Bruin and Randy Wickman. I went to the first you know, which was this past Tuesday for the Moku, which is a district.
Yeah,
you know,
the districts of
Ko'olau. And they had it at the Anahola Clubhouse.
The Anahola.
You
fantastic.
Know, and it is really, really going to be a fantastic thing. I'm excited about this because I've always been saying, you know, we need to have more signage, more name places, all of this kind of stuff.
Sure, education about this place.
And these signs, man, they are sharp looking. They're going to be placed, once again, in the divisions of each Moku, and they're going to be smart app, you know, applicable.
Hmm.
So you can go up there with your smartphone, take a photo of this thing, or even take a photo of the area that or location you're in, and apparently it's just going to totally key you in and start giving you a tremendous download of history, you know, Mo'olelo.
Tim.
Yes.
A caller would like to have those phone numbers again.
Yeah, no, we're gonna make a point to do that because this is a pretty incredible project. I don't know if folks are very familiar. You've probably heard of Ahupua'a. That's something that has come more and more into our contemporary understanding as we begin to relearn about the wisdom of the way the indigenous community here sort of set up their political boundaries and their economic boundaries and districts. Districts are made up of Ahupua'a. If an Ahupua'a is like a building block, a moku is or the district, that's a whole bunch of Ahupua'a that are together in one part of the island. Moku means cut off or separated, and in this case, it means a place that is separate unto itself or complete unto itself. And so you have like Ko'olau is the moku of Ko'olau, the district of Ko'olau. That's in the northeast corner of Kauai.
The views and opinions expressed during this program.
Oh, we got Kauaians coming out. That's cool.
Oh, fantastic. Like, yeah. But just to finish
correct.
Up, Ko'olau is that's the windward district.
Yes, the trade wind
side. The trade wind side. So that's all the Ahupua'a on the northeast sort of quadrant of
right.
Kauai.
And so between 10 to 12 of those.
And so you're saying that these signs, these moku signage, is going to go up on the highway, yeah?
They are going to be, and leading into each one of these, and eventually, as this project starts unfolding and as they start making their presentation around the island, they will start breaking them down by Ahupua'a.
Mm.
So, you know, right now, they're just going to be working with basically, you know, the five districts here
fantastic.
On our island. And if I can, I'm going to share with everybody out there in the radio land, you know, the different places that they will be holding this. Of course, they already had the one on Tuesday in Anahola. But the next one coming or forthcoming will be on May 14th. That's a Wednesday. And that will be at 6 p.m. And that will be for the Mokus of Kona and Napali at the Waimea Neighborhood Center. The Waimea Neighborhood Center. On May 14th at 6 p.m. The next one after that will be the following day, the 15th, which is a Thursday, and that will be for the Moku of Puna, which will be at the Kauai Museum at 5:30 p.m. That is Thursday, May 15th. That's for the Moku of Puna, Kauai Museum, 5:30 p.m. The following evening, that is Friday, the 16th of May, that is for the Moku of Halilea and Napali, and that will be at Hanalei School at 6 p.m. Hanalei School, 6 p.m., the May 16th, Friday, and for the Moku of Halilea and Napali. If anybody wishes to gain any more information about this, you can go onto the, you know, internet, www.kauainuikuapapa.com.
How do you spell Kuapapa?
Okay, K-U-A-P-A-P-A.
There we go. And phone numbers again, Tim, we had a request for that.
You know, phone numbers, I believe that may be in consideration for the theatrical performance. That is area code 808-329-2027.
We're getting our wires crossed a little bit. That was for the legend of Ko'olau.
Correct. But I'm not sure whether this has any particular, you know, phone numbers associated with it.
Okay,
all they
yeah,
gave me, you know, or down at the bottom of this particular leaflet.
All right.
Was
so,
just,
so the best way for folks to find out more is to go to Kauai Nui Kuapapa.
Kuapapa.
Is that a .org or a .com?
.com.
.com. Okay.
.com.
Okay.
Right on. Well,
that's really exciting. And I don't know if you caught this, but each one of these meetings about the different moku or the different districts are going to be taking place in that moku. So that's Waimea cool. is in the moku of Kona.
And Napali for that portion
right.
that's closest to the Waimea side.
Right. And Hanalei School, that's in the moku of Halelea. So that makes sense. And then Puna, that's Lihue, that's
correct.
Also in the moku of Puna. So this is pretty exciting. We're actually starting to breathe contemporary life back into the indigenous knowledge that understands this place better than anybody else in the world. And that's a smart move to make.
And they've done some phenomenal research, you know, looking into this, going back, looking at just, I can't tell you how many maps, as well as reading stories, literally digging into the archives of history to do all this. And with this, I think, as well, too, is going to be a resurgence, you know, of the trails such as the Alaloa and other parts of history, you know, that have kind of been laying a little bit like hidden or under the you know, the blanket right now.
Underappreciated.
Yes, underappreciated. That's exactly it. You know, not forgotten, but now it's time to bring them back up like the Phoenix Rising. You know, this is what's going to be happening here. And so we fully support this. Want to thank the mayor for all of his, you know, diligence and work towards that. You know, that much I definitely give toward, you know, towards him. This is one great project. You know, for him having this happen, I think it's going to help everyone, our kids on the island, to appreciate where they live, you know, and what is, you know, in connection with the area or the Mokus, and then eventually it will be the Ahupua'a, and then from that they can just learn everything. And on these signs, if you look at them real close, you know, they have, like, contributing things such as wildlife or aquatic life, you know, that are really important to each one of those moku and things of this, you know, to give it like a fullness, you know, and they're a little bit different. And, you know, as the meeting went in Nanahola, they were saying that their DOT was a little bit contentious initially.
They get fussy sometimes.
Ah, of course they do, because it's not them putting it out. But, you know, they got over that hurdle and they just said, hey, be real, you know. The Hawaiian culture is a colorful, you know, band of folks, and that's exactly it, you know.
There we go. So thanks, Tim, for that. We'll get back to that in the future, I'm sure, as more of those meetings unfold. I want to get back to my underwriters, because I neglected that at the top of the hour. These are the people that make this show possible every week of the year. So mahalos to you, our underwriters, and the work that you do supporting our community radio.
Well, these are folks just like you.
Laser Bear proudly presents the 12th Annual Hawaii Rhythm and Blues Melee, a blues, roots, and jazz festival featuring guitar virtuosos Alvin Bishop, Duke Robillard, Little Charlie Beatty, and Tinsy Ellis. Thursday, May 15th at the Kauai Beach Resort, Jasmine Ballroom. Doors open at 5:30. Show starts at 6:30. That's the 12th Annual Hawaii Rhythm and Blues Melee with headliner Alvin Bishop and Duke Robillard with Little Charlie Beatty and their bands. Thursday, May 15th at the Kauai Beach Resort. Information and Gold Circle available at 808-896-4845. Or online at laserbear.com. That's LAZARBEAR.com.
Hale Halawai Ohana Ohanale presents May Day by the Bay in Hanalei at Waiole Beach Park Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Featuring live music performed by groups from throughout Hawaii. Also cultural demonstrations by local practitioners, a craft fair for Kauai-made products, local fresh foods, displays of local nonprofits, and a silent auction. Open to the public. That's May Day by the Bay, Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Waiole Beach Park in Hanalei. E kono mai!
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Yeah, thank you for our underwriters who make this all possible. And we are in the midst of our fun drive. The phones are ringing. We'll take your calls. We'll take your concerns. We'll take your contributions, however you want to give it to us. The phone number here is 826-7771. Off island, it's 866-275-1112. And we are making Slim and Tommy earn it right now as volunteers. We're a little bit short of our goal for $1,000, so we'd love to see that those numbers increase. But we did hit the $25,000 mark. We're in the not quite halfway to our $60,000 goal. That's for our fund drive. We do this twice a year so that we can get the lights on, we can get the AC, make sure that the cool temperatures don't melt down our PCs.
Yeah, it's not for us. It's for the equipment.
There you go. It's not for us. It's for the equipment. It's important. We need your contributions. The hard, cold currency works the best. And I think we got a phone call coming up.
Steve Yoder's on line
Steve
one.
Steve
Mr.
On. So
Stephen J.
Stephen J. on. Hold on. One
Before
second.
We do Stephen J. real quick, I just want to give hats off and big props to Nalani Bruin and Randy Wickman. They were helping spearhead this Moku signage project. And it's really fantastic to see people ho'o kuleana, to step up and take responsibility. It's an inspiration to us all.
There you go. And Stephen Yoder, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, on another gentleman who's stepping up and taking responsibility. A candidate for District 15, did I get that right?
That's right.
District
That's
15
right.
Running a proud, on a Republican.
Yeah, a proud ticket. Republican.
Well, the reason why I'm calling you guys, I just, of course, I wanted to give you guys an update on the candidacy and running. We're, you know, of course, knocking doors and
putting up signs. Yes,
putting up signs. And that's the thing I wanted to talk to you guys about.
Let's
I was just wondering if I can
got?
Ask a favor of the quiet listeners.
Yes, let's hear it, Stephen.
Well, I asked permission of a person who owns a house across the street from Walmart if I could put a sign up there. A banner. And they said yes. And I've put it up there. It's been cut down 3 times.
What? Don't you hate that? I sure hated that when that happened to me.
Jim Kelly took down your sign.
Yeah, Jim Kelly, that mean guy.
What do you think, Stephen?
But, you know, I know you're teasing a lot here. I don't know who Jim Kelly is. But
well,
maybe he's
the guy that took down your sign.
But I'm really not happy about it. And I was just wondering if the listeners of KKCR, whether they agree with my politics or not, would have my back on this. Because it's a shame that people have donated money to the campaign, Jay and Jimmy, that have, you know, sacrificed money on their part. These signs, these banners are like $50 each.
Yeah, it's not
and
free.
I'm just, you know, I filed a police report because I want to keep a paper trail, but I put it up and it's cut down and stolen. I put it up, it's cut down, left on the ground, put it up again this morning at 10 till 6 this morning, went down to Wavapuhi, and this time it's been cut down sometime this afternoon.
How
and
many
now
times
stolen
is that?
Again. And it takes a lot of brazen cojones to do that in broad daylight.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if people would, if they see something, say something. 241-1711.
That's how they can contact you?
No, that's how they can contact the police department.
Oh, what is that number again?
241-1711. I mean, they could contact me, but there isn't much I can do about it because I'm working.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm like a lot of people. I work 7 days a week. I work long hours. And in my off time, I'm not trying to build up a sympathy here. It's just the way it is here in Kauai. You know, I go out there and I wave at cars early in the morning.
And
I
can
to work.
Testify to that because I've seen you out there.
And then for something like this to take place, and you know what? No, none of the other banners are coming down. No, there's competition who's just maybe 150 feet away. Their banners are staying up just fine. But there's only one banner they seem interested in cutting down, and it's yours truly, Steve Yoder.
There's a reason for that, Steve.
Oh, there always is a reason.
You know, and I really seriously don't think Jim Kelly is responsible for
that. No, I don't even know who
I'll
Jim
bet
Kelly
it's not
is.
Jim Kelly who's taking your sign down as well.
I wish you guys hadn't even brought his name up, because now but if somebody's going to say that I keyed whoever this guy is.
You know how it
is.
On this radio station.
People,
you know,
hear what they want
people
to.
People call in,
yeah.
And everything starts going
just,
downhill from
you
there.
You know, it's really disturbing, and it's you know, I'm not going to stop, and I'm just hoping, you know, we'll start a Steve Yoder $50 campaign for banners, because people have found out, have contributed money to my campaign because of this, and that's not my reason for calling, but I'm just wondering if people could just have my back on this, whether you agree with me or not. I'm
well,
just a guy who believes in lower taxes.
That's your political free speech. That should never be infringed.
All I want to be is for people who can work to work, and for us to not support people, fire hard tax dollars to pay for people who can work, who just decide that they can live off a welfare state like the state of Hawaii. That's the reason why I'm running. Another issue.
Now, Stephen Jay, I want to give you more time on the radio. I also want to give Dylan Hoosier and Jimmy Tokioka more time. When could we schedule a candidates forum where you guys could either come up to the station or we could maybe meet you somewhere, meet you and the other candidates, and we could broadcast it live and be able to get the issues out and get to understand some of those issues and the candidates' positions on those issues in the near future?
Well, I don't have any problem with that. I'll definitely come up to the station. I'm sure Jimmy Tokioka has a car and Dylan Hoosier has a car. I'm sure there's no big deal if they're going to be on there for them to drive to the station.
Well, and maybe you guys could carpool, yeah?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Save some gas.
But one issue I really want to see brought up is that for people to be accountable for their actions of how they spend their money, people work very hard in this island, and I think here's one of my plugs. I think instead of the state asking you and I to adjust our budget to fit their needs. I think the state needs to start adjusting their budget to fit our needs. I'm tired of being taxed. I'm taxed enough already.
Well, one thing where I think we could all agree is that it's not appropriate to tax your campaign by damaging and taking down your signs and you know, mischief well, like that. That's really inappropriate.
It is inappropriate, but if somebody, when it's a great place for a sign. I mean, when you're pulling out of Walmart, you have to make a left or right onto 56 Coohill Highway.
Well, you could just drive straight through the fence and into your banner.
And
it's a choice.
And I went to the trouble. It's a very nice man who lives over there, and he allowed me to, you know, there's another banner up there for Louis Baptist Church for their day camp. That's not being taken down. So I just wish that people wouldn't do things like this. It's just so inappropriate, and I hope that people who are running in the Democrat Party would come out and actually say something, because there will be a letter going to the Garden Island newspaper here tomorrow in regards to it, that they would come out and say, we do not approve, and, you know, there's some Yahoo out there that thinks that they're doing somebody a favor, but it's vandalism and it's theft.
It's also petty and small-minded.
Well, no, it's not. Well, $50 every time they take down a sign ain't petty to me.
Well, here no, we I'm talking about in the mind
know,
of the perpetrator.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, Stephen Jay, I gotta.
I'll let you go.
I gotta run to this one because we're getting to the top of the hour, and Moe's and Marin are waiting to do their fantastic show right after this fantastic show. But before we go there, we got to do this.
FNG Associates presents Reggae Star Messenger Sela. Jukebox City, The Candy Factory, in celebration of Armed Forces Day, Saturday, May 17th, at the Church of the Pacific, 755-5861.
Firelight Kauai, custom laser cutting studio and gallery, next to the fire station in Hanapepe, firelightkauai.com.
The Kauai North Shore Community Foundation partners with individuals and nonprofits to meet community needs. Help create needed facilities and programs from Haena to Anahola. KauaiNorthShoreCommunityFoundation.org.
Hui Olaka and the Koke'e Museum, connecting people with Koke'e.
Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, and Hanalei, personalized real estate sales and rental services on Kauai since 1978. Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty supports KKCR, Balihai.com, or 826-7244.
Forging elite fitness on the North Shore of Kauai. Kilauea CrossFit. KilaueaCrossFit.com. 652-7979.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers supporting KKCR from the beginning. Continuing to support KKCR and encouraging others to contribute.
Paradise Music Hawaiian Music Store, located in Princeville and Coconut Marketplace Shopping Center, loves KKCR.
Attorney Lawrence McCreary, serving Kauai clients in bankruptcy and family law matters for 35 years. 246-0269 for introductory consultation.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. Also, the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. HawaiiGaga.com.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders or to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774. Mahalo.
And mahalo to you. Thanks so much for all your support today on Out of the Box here at KKCR. We've got a fantastic series of pledges from all of you listeners. Really appreciate that. Don't even have enough time to go through the list of all the folks who did pledge online and on by phone. But thank you so much for that. And we've got to do stick around because we've got Moe's and Marin coming up with one of their fantastic double-barreled editions of Acoustic Luau. That should be pretty great. Jimmy? Thank you so much for your part today. Thanks for volunteering, coming up and doing the show all these Thursdays.
Hey, no worries, Jonathan. I'm glad to come every weekend you can't be here.
That says a lot.
In fact, I would only come if you weren't here.
Wait a second.
No, wait a minute.
What does that
work?
Mean?
But seriously, I appreciate all the calls that we've gotten today, both the paying callers and the non-paying callers. Want to thank the contributors who have helped us reach our first goal of going over $25,000. We didn't hit our sure goal of $1,000, but you know what? We still got a number of days left in our fund drive to get it all the way up to $60,000. New members are appreciated. Old members are even more appreciated. And old members, you can get new members. There we go.
Well,
if
you're standing by right now, you've been waiting for your chance to call. This is your last minute. It's right now before we come into the fantastic acoustic luau. The show here, 826-7771. Get them started off grand. I bet they have a goal. I bet it's a good one. And you can help support them to make it happen. So thanks so much. Really appreciate it. This is Jonathan saying aloha for now and ahui ho.
We'll see you in a week, Jonathan. And Dave, good luck on Oahu. I'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm not sure what that show's going to be like, but it'll be hopefully live, entertaining, educational, and
maybe we'll include you.
Worth the money. Yes, you got it. Here we go. One last underwriter, wave rider for the show, and then we'll see you guys when we can. Ahui ho.
Yes.
Good. Be helpful.
Stick around and more to come.
Go on Facebook. You'll check out a number of links, different information about today's show and how you can continue to contribute to your community radio. Moza Marin coming up. Acoustic Luau right at 6.
Be Kind Apiary and the Kauai Beekeepers Association encourages you to